Tsumma, 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 lechava wa nafshi. Koma, 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 lechava sori.
Shalom Chavarim, this is John Parsons with Hebrew for Christians, and let me first of all wish you Shavua Tov in the name of Yeshua our Messiah to a good week, and may this be a time when we draw closer to the Lord. We're in the midst of the Hanukkah season and, of course, the Christmas season as we are busy getting ready for these holidays and cooking things and preparing for visits with family and so on. In the midst of all this busyness, it's sometimes easy to lose sight of the spirituality of this time and to get caught up in more profane matters. So I hope that you'll take some time this week, especially to draw close to the Lord and recenter yourself in His presence. After all, the holidays don't mean much if we don't have the Lord in the midst of our hearts as the central focus of all that we're doing. And that's particularly difficult, I think, during the holiday season. So let me wish you a happy and joy-filled and spirit-filled holiday season, wherein you and your family have a true encounter with the risen Messiah and experience anew and afresh the reality of God's grace. Our Torah portion for this Hanukkah week is Parshat Miketz. That's found in Genesis chapters 41, verse 1 through 44, verse 17. And we always read Miketz during Hanukkah. The Hebrew word Miketz is an interesting Hebrew word. It means literally from the end of, preposition mi, or mean there, meaning from, and ketz, meaning end. Prophetically, this portion refers to the cutting off of the people of Israel during the time of tribulation and their restoration at the hand of Messiah. We'll see that in the life of Yosef, or Joseph. But as it's used in our Torah portion here, the word miketz refers to the end of the two-year period that Joseph had to wait in prison before he was called by Pharaoh to interpret his dreams. And as I mentioned last week, some of the Torah sages have said that Joseph languished those extra 2 years because he was relying more on the agency of humans, of the wine steward to intercede or advocate for him rather than just trusting in God. A simpler way to understand this, though, is that God had his sovereign plan and purposes, and it took 2 more years before the Pharaoh was ready to have this dream and Israel would be prepared to go through its period of prosperity under Joseph's leadership. So either way, though, it was 2 years afterwards that Pharaoh had his dream. And that's why we call this Torah portion Miketz, from the verse in Torah that says, Vayhi Miketz Shanatayim Yamim. And it came to pass at the end of, there it is, Miketz Shanatayim Yamim, literally at the end of 2 years of days. Now, in what follows, I'm just going to provide a brief synopsis of this Torah portion. You can find a lot more information on Hebrew for Christians, a lot more articles on the aspects of this Torah portion, as well as other ones in the book of Bereshit or Genesis. So here I'm just going to provide an overview to orientate us for this week's reading. Let me just say at the outset, however, that this Torah portion is extremely interesting, fascinating from a narrative point of view, having to do with a lot of intrigue and disclosures and wonderful revelations. So I encourage you to really take time to read this in your Bibles and get a hold of the drama here, because it just plays so amazingly into the story of our Messiah Yeshua. Okay, so now on to our quick summary. Recall that last week's Torah portion, called Parshat Vayeshev, related how Joseph, the favored son of Israel, was cruelly sold in slavery by his jealous brothers for 20 pieces of silver. However, the Lord was with him, and soon he was promoted to be the supervisor of his entire master's household, that referring to Potiphar, of course. When Joseph steadfastly turned away from the seduction of Potiphar's wife, however, he was unjustly thrown into prison, though Potiphar soon promoted him to help manage the jail. I had also mentioned in last week's Torah reading that Potiphar was undoubtedly aware of his wife's character and assumed that Joseph was in fact being seduced by his wife, and therefore he showed him great favor. For more on that, see the Hebrew for Christians website. Now, returning to our narrative, after successfully interpreting the dream of Pharaoh's imprisoned wine steward, Joseph hoped to be released from his unjust imprisonment, but the steward forgot to make appeal for him before the Pharaoh. I mention all this as context because now our Torah portion, Miketz, begins. Now, 2 years after the wine steward was freed from prison, Pharaoh had two unusual dreams. In one dream, 7 lean cows devoured 7 full-fed cows, yet remained lean, and in the other, 7 thin ears of grain swallowed 7 full ears, yet remained thin. Pharaoh was disturbed and called for his magicians and wise men to explain their significance, but no one could do so. Then the wine steward remembered how Joseph had correctly interpreted his dreams 2 years ago and promptly told Pharaoh, who hastily summoned Joseph to appear before him. Joseph had been in prison for 12 years at this point, but the time had finally arrived for him to fulfill the dreams given to him as a young man. When Joseph was told Pharaoh's two dreams, he explained that Egypt would experience 7 prosperous years followed by 7 years of famine. The repetition of the dream meant that the matter was certain and that the 7 years were imminent. Joseph further recommended that a wise person be appointed to administer the land and store food for the coming years of trouble. Pharaoh was greatly impressed with Joseph's abilities and immediately appointed him as viceroy to oversee the entire project. He conferred upon him the royal signet ring, adorned him in fine garments, and placed him on the viceroy's chariot. He also gave Joseph an Egyptian name, Safnat-Paneach, which means decipherer of secrets, and he also gave the daughter of an Egyptian priest named Asenath as his wife. Overnight, Joseph was taken from the dungeon, exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh, and was given a Gentile bride. He was 30 years old at the time of his rise to power. During the next 7 years, Joseph amassed an abundance of food in the storehouses across Egypt. However, just as he foretold, the 7 years of famine began. Joseph then opened the storehouses and sold food supply to the Egyptians. The neighboring regions also suffered from worldwide famine, and their inhabitants came to Egypt to purchase food. Because of the famine, Jacob sent all his sons, except Benjamin, the sole survivor of his beloved wife Rachel, down to Egypt to buy food. Since Joseph was the governor of the land in charge of the food distribution, Jacob's sons came and bowed themselves down before him, quote, with their faces to the ground. In delicious irony, Joseph immediately recognized them, but not the other way around, and accused them of being spies. The brothers denied the charge, explaining their family background, and insisted that they were in Egypt merely to buy food. Joseph then ordered them to bring back their brother Benjamin in order to, quote, prove their story. And after imprisoning them for 3 days, released 9 of the 10 brothers, holding Simeon hostage until they would later return with Benjamin. The Torah states that the brothers then remembered their treatment of Joseph and attributed their current troubles to their abuse of him. Unknown to them, because they were unaware, of course, that Joseph was standing there and understood Hebrew, after listening, Joseph understood that his brothers' hearts had truly changed, and he left the room and wept quietly. Perhaps it was at this time that Joseph began to design a plan in which he could test his brothers thoroughly to ensure that their hearts had undergone true teshuvah, and therefore he came up with an elaborate scheme. Before the brothers departed back to the land of Canaan, Joseph secretly instructed his servants to return their money inside their sacks of grain. On the way back home, the brothers discovered the money and feared that they would be accused of stealing the grain. When they arrived home, they told the entire ordeal to Jacob, who, despite Simeon's hostage status, flatly refused to let Benjamin return back to Egypt with them. However, after their supply of grain finally ran out, Reuben appealed to Jacob to bear responsibility for Benjamin, though he was rebuffed, doubtlessly because of his previous incestuous union with Bilhah. When the conditions became insufferable, however, Judah approached his father and swore to take personal and eternal responsibility for the welfare of Benjamin. Upon hearing Judah's promise, Jacob finally relented and allowed Benjamin to go with the other brothers back to Egypt. When they finally returned and arrived in Egypt, the brothers were officially escorted back to Joseph's house, where they presented a gift from their father, Jacob, and again bowed down before Joseph. Joseph then hosted a great feast and had the brothers sit in the order of their birth, much to their amazement, and he also served Benjamin 5 times the food of the other brothers. The morning after the feast, as the brothers were getting ready to return to Canaan, Joseph devised a final test for his brothers by ordering his servants to once again fill their sacks with their money, but to carefully hide Joseph's silver, quote, divination goblet in Benjamin's sack. After the brothers left for home, they were soon overtaken and confronted by Joseph's steward and his guards, who, following Joseph's script, accused them of stealing the goblet. They again protested their innocence and agreed to be searched, but the goblet was found, alas, in Benjamin's sack. The brothers then tore their clothes in grief and returned to make appeal to Joseph, where once again they fell to the ground before him and confessed their guilt before God, again indicating a true heart change had taken place in these men. The portion ends as Judah offered himself and his brothers to be slaves in place of Benjamin, but Joseph refused and insisted that only Benjamin would be made a slave for the crime. So our Torah portion ends on a cliffhanger. What's going to happen? Will Joseph listen to Judah? Judah here being an intercessor who drew near. This is a picture of our Messiah. Again, from the tribe of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who goes forth to intercede before the great power for the release of the captive. What a wonderful Torah narrative. What a wonderful Torah reading for Hanukkah week as we review again the story of Joseph and how he finally is able to use his gift of prophetic dreams for good, interpreting Pharaoh's disastrous vision and helping save not just the Egyptian people, but also his own family by means of his gift from heaven and his faithfulness. Now, as I've already mentioned, Miketz refers prophetically to the end of days, Acharit Hayamim, and in particular the time of Jacob's trouble, when Israel will be in great tribulation, and they will then seek out Mashiach ben Yosef, who will then be disclosed as Mashiach ben David to them, and there'll be a healing and a deliverance, and then all Israel shall be saved. This is the prophetic aspect of both Joseph's life and also of Hanukkah, in a sense. You can learn more about that on the Hebrew for Christians website. Now, I want to mention, just in passing, some of the great parallels between Yeshua and Joseph. And here's just a partial list of some of the correspondences revealed in the scriptures. I have this listed in a couple places on the Hebrew for Christians website, so you can download that as a PDF or just read it online. So in no particular order, let me just list some of these correspondences. First of all, consider Joseph's mother, Rachel, and how she was barren, and that her pregnancy was a result of the direct intervention of God. And now consider Yeshua's mother, Miriam, or Mary, who was a virgin, and her pregnancy was the result, likewise, of a direct intervention of God. The birth of Rachel's son would remove reproach from Israel, it said in Genesis 30, verse 23, and likewise, the birth of Yeshua was for the glory of the people Israel. Yeshua would be also a light to the nations, it says in Luke 2:32. The name Yosef means, may he add, a wordplay given by Rachel to express her hope for more children. And Yeshua means the Lord saves and denotes the deliverance of God's children. Through Yeshua, God would add children to Israel. Yosef, or Joseph, was the firstborn son of Rachel, who is considered the matriarch of Israel. And Yeshua was likewise the firstborn son of Mary, or Miriam, who's considered the matriarch of the New Covenant people of God. For that, see John 19:26 or Luke 2:7. The birth of Joseph marked the end of Israel's exile from the land. After his birth, his father Jacob left Laban for the Promised Land. That's in Genesis 30. The birth of Yeshua marks the end of Israel's spiritual exile, and also, for that matter, the exile of the world. In Jewish tradition, Joseph is regarded as the nemesis of Esau, who's considered the personification of Gentile power and oppression of Israel. And likewise, Yeshua is the nemesis of Satan. He is the serpent slayer, the ultimate nemesis of all the powers of darkness. Joseph was a precocious young man filled with dreams given to him from heaven. Yeshua was at the temple discussing Torah with the sages when he was just 12 years old. He was likewise a precocious child filled with dreams of heaven. Joseph was beloved by his father, called Ben Yachid, as Isaac was regarded by Abraham. And so Yeshua is Ben Yachid, the only begotten of the Father, it says in John 1:14. Joseph was a shepherd. Yeshua is called the Good Shepherd. Joseph was raised in the Promised Land. Yeshua was raised in the Promised Land. Joseph brought a bad report of his brothers to his father. Yeshua testified that the Jewish people needed a savior and their deeds were evil. Jacob loved Joseph more than his other sons, it says in Genesis 37:3. And God loves Yeshua in a unique way, as the savior of the world, as his only begotten. Joseph was anointed by his father with a tunic of many colors, that's ketonet pasim. And Yeshua was anointed as Mashiach ben David. He is the savior, the anointed king of Israel. We see this at the Mount of Transfiguration as well. Joseph prophetically foresaw himself as the deliverer of Israel and the savior of the world. Look at Genesis 37 for that, 5 through 11. Yeshua himself understood himself to be the savior of the world. Joseph's brothers hated him and couldn't speak kindly to him. Yeshua was likewise hated without a cause and repeatedly tested by the religious authorities of his day. Joseph was a dreamer and a prophet who was despised by his brothers. Yeshua preached the message of salvation through his vision of the kingdom and was despised by the Jewish people. Joseph's brothers refused his rule, and likewise Yeshua was rejected, and the people exclaimed, "We do not want this man to rule over us." Joseph's brothers envied him, as they did Yeshua. Joseph was sent forth by his father. It says in Genesis 37:12-14, "And Yeshua was likewise sent by the father." Joseph's brothers conspired to kill him. It says in Matthew's Gospel, the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Yeshua in order to bring about his death. Joseph's brothers disbelieved in him. Likewise, Yeshua's brothers didn't believe in him. Look at John 1:11, 3:18, John 3:36, and so on. Joseph's brothers stripped him of his tunic and mocked him. Of Yeshua, they stripped his robe and put a scarlet robe on him instead. Joseph's brothers cast him into a pit, a symbol of the tomb. Yeshua was cast into a pit. Joseph's brothers callously ate a meal while he was suffering in the pit. Israel ate the Passover while Yeshua was in the pit. Judah promoted the idea that Joseph's life should be ransomed, and Yeshua was born of the tribe of Judah and became the redeemer or ransomer of the world. Joseph's brothers sold him for 20 shekels of silver, and they paid him, namely Judas, 30 pieces of silver in the New Testament, it says, of Yeshua and his betrayal. Joseph was raised from the pit. Yeshua was raised from the dead. Joseph was sold as a slave. Before he was promoted to glory, Yeshua took upon himself the form of a servant, a suffering servant before his exaltation. Joseph was taken to Egypt to avoid being killed. Likewise, Yeshua was taken to Egypt in order to avoid the insane wrath of the so-called Herod the Great. Joseph's tunic was covered with blood. Yeshua's robe was covered with blood. Yeshua redeemed us from judgment by shedding his blood for our sins. Joseph became a slave in Potiphar's house. Yeshua took upon himself the form of a suffering servant and served others. The Lord was with Joseph in his humiliation and prospered him. Yeshua grew in wisdom and favor. He always did those things that pleased the Father. Joseph was made an overseer. Yeshua is called the great shepherd and overseer of our souls. Joseph was tempted but did not sin. Yeshua was tempted in every way, yet was without sin. Joseph was falsely accused, and indeed Torah does not attribute to him any specific sin. Yeshua was falsely accused by the religious authorities of his day, and yet no one could convict him of sin. Joseph's legal accuser, namely Potiphar, likely believed in his innocence, but perverted justice to save face. And Yeshua was unjustly condemned by the Roman procurator Pilate, who believed in his innocence, but sentenced him to death to save face. Joseph made no defense before the Gentile authorities. It says that in Genesis 39:19-20. And of Pilate, he questioned him at some length, but Yeshua made no answer, it says in Luke 23:9. Joseph was imprisoned with two other criminals, and Yeshua was crucified with two other criminals who were put to death with him. Joseph was a prophet who could interpret dreams. Yeshua was a great prophet, of course, who could reveal what was hidden in the heart. Joseph was filled with the Spirit of God and great wisdom, and God anointed Yeshua with the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, and with power, Koach. He was full of wisdom and truth. Joseph was finally vindicated and exalted over the entire known world, and now the Son of Man is seated at the right hand of power on high. He is the Lord of glory. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess to him. Joseph was raised from the pit and given fine linen and gold, it says in Genesis 41:42. Yeshua was clothed with his pre-incarnate glory after the resurrection. Look at Matthew 17:1, Revelation 1:13-17, and Dan 10:5-6. Pharaoh ordered the royal criers to walk in front of Joseph's chariots, shouting, "Avrech," bow the knee. This is from the root berech, meaning knee, in Genesis 41:43. And of course, every knee shall bow to Yeshua. Look at Philippians 2:9-11. Some other correspondences. Joseph was given a foreign bride. Yeshua's followers are called the bride of Messiah and are taken from every tribe and tongue, and therefore in a sense represents a Gentile bride. Joseph was called the decipherer of secrets, and Yeshua revealed the Father. He's the revealer of the hidden things. In him are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Look at Colossians 2:3. Joseph was 30 years old when he began his public ministry in Egypt. Yeshua was 30 years old when he began his public ministry in Israel. Joseph became the bread giver to the world. Yeshua is Lechem Chaim, the bread of life. Joseph tested his brothers as a disguised Egyptian, and they did not recognize him. Yeshua is a disguised Egyptian of sorts, a stumbling block and a rock of offense. A partial hardening has come upon Israel because they don't recognize who their Savior is. Judah interceded on behalf of Israel's son Benjamin before Joseph, and Yeshua will one day intercede as Mashiach ben David on behalf of Israel. This is the Yom Kippur connection of the end of days. Look at the Hebrew for Christians website for more on this. And the Jewish people will finally repent and turn to him as their Savior, their Mashiach. They will have the fulfillment of Zion's promises given in him. After testing his brothers to see if they underwent Teshuvah, Joseph finally revealed himself. And during the great tribulation to come, Yeshua will finally open the eyes of Israel so they recognize him. Joseph was revealed to his brothers as Israel's Savior. That's they considered him dead and gone, and then he, lo and behold, there he is, the Savior of the people of Israel. Likewise, Yeshua is Israel's true Savior. Israel will receive Yeshua at his second coming. Look at Zechariah 12:10, John 19:37, Romans 11:26, Isaiah 59:20, and so on. Joseph became the Savior of the entire world, not just Israel, Genesis 45:7. And so God sent his only Son into the world that we might have life through him, that all nations might come to know him. Salvation ultimately means redemption from the curse of sin and death inherited through Adam and Eve's transgression. Remember, the problem, the root problem, isn't sin as much as it is the sickness of spiritual death, and Yeshua heals us from that. Joseph was alive from the dead for Israel. And look at Genesis 45:26-28. And of Yeshua, it was asked by the angels, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen." This concerning the resurrection of our great Savior. Judah led the way of Israel back to the promised land of Goshen. This is Genesis 46:28. And Yeshua, as Mashiach ben David, will lead Israel to a renewed land of promise. Joseph brought Israel before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed the Pharaoh. That's Genesis 47:7. Yeshua will one day bring Israel before the Father, and Israel will then bless the name of the Lord in the truth. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:28. Through his faith, Joseph conquered the entire world, it says in Genesis 47:23. In the millennial kingdom, Yeshua will be the undisputed ruler of the world. Again, this is referring to the millennial kingdom, the kingdom of Zion, wherein all the prophecies and words of the prophets, the Hebrew prophets, will be literally fulfilled in ethnic Israel, the people of God that will be on the earth at that time. And the church, or the people of the new covenant, will be ministers in that kingdom at the behest of Yeshua, will be immortals, whereas the people at that time will not be immortals, although they will have very long lives. So for more on that, see the Hebrew for Christians website. Joseph was crowned with glory and honor. Likewise, Yeshua is crowned with glory and honor because of his suffering on the cross and because of his great love on behalf of his people. Jacob irrevocably adopted Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, into the family. And Yeshua foretold that there would be one shepherd over one flock. Look at John 10:16. Ultimately, there will be one olive tree that represents the redeemed people of God, composed of both Jews and Gentiles. Look at Romans 11:17-26. Also go to the Hebrew for Christians website and look for the article, Israel and Church, What's the Connection? Now, Joseph's Gentile descendants were incorporated into the Commonwealth of Israel as two great tribes, and Yeshua's followers are likewise incorporated into the covenants and blessings of ethnic Israel. Look at Ephesians 2:12-14. Joseph was given the blessing of the firstborn son, the Bechor. Genesis 49:22-26 is evidence for that. And Yeshua is the firstborn of creation, who has preeminence over all other prophets, priests, kings, angels, and so on. Look at Hebrews 1, Colossians 1:16-18. By the way, the word firstborn here refers to his preeminence over creation. He is the direct object, the Aleph Tav, of creation. It is through his agency that all things come into being. It's very clear in John's gospel. Read that very closely. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. John chapter 1, that in him all things were made. Not anything that was made came apart from him. So this firstborn of creation has nothing to do with his becoming incarnated as our Savior, although that is implied in that phrase, but it is rather a term of preeminence and exaltation over creation. Namely, it's a term reserved for the Creator. He is the first manifest expression of the will of God in space-time. He is the first expression of God over all things. He is the first light that is given utterance and meaning in the universe, as it says in Genesis 1:3. So don't get confused on that firstborn of creation business, please. So these are just some of the correspondences. There are many others. And I have a list on Hebrew for Christians website where you can check the Bible references and perhaps you'll find further correspondences. There are many, but this should suffice to show you that there is a great correspondence between these two and that Yeshua is the fulfillment of the type or the foreshadowing that Yosef ben Yisrael was to the sons of Israel. So I wish you a great week this week as you draw close to the Lord and meditate on these matters. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will enlighten you and give you grace and healing and favor and release from your fears and your anger, that you'll be delivered from all that oppresses you, that you will find inner peace, shalom, healing, love in our Messiah. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzat reshaim, uv derech hata'im lo amad, uv moshav litzim lo yashav. Which is to say, blessed is the person that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the wicked, nor sit in the seat of scorners. May that not be us. Ki im betorat Adonai chefso, uv torato yegei yomam v'layla. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Torah of the Lord, and in his Torah does he meditate day and night. And this person shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Ki yodea Adonai derech sadekim, v'derech reshaim toved. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. These verses are from Psalm chapter 1, of course. So may this be true for you. May this be what is real for you, your name. May that be part of the name that you are before the Lord, the Beloved, that you would walk in the light and bear the fruit of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit of God in your season. So Shavua Tov, my friends. Yevarechacha Hashem Yavishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai Panav Elecha Vikuneka, Yisa Adonai Panav Elecha Ve'esem Lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his healing love. Bashem Yeshua Meshichenu Hu Hadon. In the name of Jesus our Messiah, he is the Lord. Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov, every blessing in Messiah, be it on you, by faith, receive it now. Amen. For more information, visit us at www.hebrewforchristians.com or Google Learn Hebrew Free.